34. Blossoms and Cake. Our gods were born splinters of a soul, of one who seeks to take control, destroys all lands that he beholds with spite. They are his spren, his gift, his price. But the night forms speak of future life, a challenged champion, a strife even he must requite. From the Listener, Song of Secrets, final stanza. High Prince Valam might be dead, Brightness Tin, the Span Reed wrote. Our informants are uncertain. He was never in the best of health, and now there are rumors that his illness finally overcame him. His forces are gearing up to seize Vaidenar, however, so if he's dead, his bastard son is likely pretending he is not. Shallan sat back, though the reed continued writing. It moved seemingly of its own volition, paired to an identical reed used by Tin's associate, somewhere in Tashik. They'd set up regular camp following the high storm, Shallan joining Tin in her magnificent tent. The air still smelled of rain, and the floor of the tent let some water leak through, wetting Tin's rug. Shallan wished she'd worn her oversized boots instead of slippers. What would it mean for her family if the High Prince was dead? He had been one of her father's main problems in the latter days of his life, and her house had gone into debt, securing allies to win the High Prince's ear, or perhaps, instead, to try to unseat him. A succession war could pressure the people who held her family's debts, and that might make them come to her brother's demanding payments. Or, instead, the chaos could cause the creditors to forget about Shallan's brothers and their insignificant house. And what of the Ghost Bloods? Would the succession war make them more or less likely to come, demanding their soul caster? Stormfather! She needed more information. The reed continued to move, listing the names of those who were making a play for the throne of Yakaved. "Do you know any of these people personally?" Tin asked, arms crossed contemplatively as she stood beside the writing table. "What's happening might offer us some opportunities." "I wasn't important enough for those types," Shallan said with a grimace. It was true. "We might want to make our way to Yakaved regardless," Tin said. "You know the culture, the people. That'll be useful."
"It's a war zone."
"War means desperation, and desperation is our mother's milk, kid. Once we follow your lead at the Shattered Plains, maybe pick up another member or two for our team, we probably will want to go visit your homeland." Shallan felt an immediate stab of guilt. From what Tin said, the stories she told, it had become clear that she often chose to have someone like Shallan under her wing, an acolyte, someone to nurture. Shallan suspected that was at least partly because Tin liked having someone around to impress.
"Her life must be so lonely," Shallan thought. "Always moving, always taking whatever she can get but never giving, except once in a while, to a young thief she can foster."
A strange shadow moved across the wall of the tent. Pattern, though Shallan only noticed him because she knew what to look for. He could be practically invisible when he wanted to be, though unlike some spren, he could not vanish completely. The Span Reed continued to write, giving Tin a longer rundown of conditions in various countries. After that it produced a curious statement. "I have checked with informants at the Shattered Plains," the pen wrote. "The ones you asked after are indeed wanted men. Most are former members of the army of High Prince Sadius. He is not forgiving of deserters."
"What's this?" Shallan asked, rising from her stool and going to look more closely at what the pen wrote.
"I implied earlier we'd have to discuss this," Tin said, changing the paper for the span read. "As I keep explaining, the life we lead requires doing some harsh things. The leader, whom you call Vatha, is worth a bounty of 4 emerald bromes," the pen wrote. "The rest, 2 bromes each."
"Bounty?" Shallan demanded.
"I gave promises to these men." "Hush," Tin said. "We're not alone in this camp, fool child. If you want us dead, all you need to do is let them overhear this conversation.
We're not turning them in for money, Shallan said more softly.
Tin, I gave my word.
Your word? Tin said, laughing.
Kid, what do you think we are?
Your word?
Shallan blushed. On the table, the Span Reed continued to write, oblivious to the fact they weren't paying attention. It was saying something about a job Tin had done before.
Tin, Shallan said, Vatha and his men can be useful.
Tin shook her head, walking over to the side of the tent, pouring herself a cup of wine.
You should be proud of what you did here. You have barely any experience, yet you took over 3 separate groups, convincing them to put you, practically sphereless and completely without authority, in charge. Brilliant. But here's the thing. The lies we tell, the dreams we create, they're not real. We can't let them be real.
This might be the hardest lesson you have to learn.
She turned to Shallan, her expression having gone hard, all sense of relaxed playfulness gone. When a good con woman dies, it's usually because she starts believing her own lies. She finds something good and wants it to continue. She keeps it going, thinking she can juggle it. One day more, she tells herself. One day more, and then... Tin dropped the cup. It hit the ground, the wine splashing blood red across the tent floor and Tin's rug.
Red carpet. Once it was white.
Your rug, Shallan said, feeling numb.
You think I can afford to haul a rug with me when I leave the shattered plains?
Tin asked softly, stepping across the spilled wine, taking Shallan by the arm.
You think we can take any of this? It's meaningless. You've lied to these men. You've built yourself up. And tomorrow, when we enter that war camp, the truth will hit you like a slap in the face. You think you can actually get clemency for these men? From a man like High Prince Sadius? Don't be an idiot. Even if you get the con going with Dalinar, you want to spend what little credibility we can fake in order to free murderers from Dalinar's political enemy? How long did you think you could keep this lie going?
Shallan sat back down on the stool, agitated, both at Tin and at herself. She shouldn't be surprised that Tin wanted to betray Vatha and his men. She knew what Tin was, and had eagerly let the woman teach her. In truth, Vatha and his men probably did deserve their punishments. That didn't mean Shallan was going to betray them. She had told them they could change. She had given her word.
Lies.
Just because you learned how to lie didn't mean you had to let the lie rule you. But how could she protect Vatha without alienating Tin? Did she even have that option? What would Tin do when Shallan proved to actually be the woman betrothed to Dalinar Kolin's son?
How long did you think you could keep this lie going?
Here now, Tin said, smiling broadly. That's some good news. Shallan shook herself from her ruminations, glancing at what the Span Reed had been writing. In regards to your mission in Amidlaten, it read, our benefactors have written to say that they are pleased. They do want to know if you recovered the information, but I think this is secondary to them. They let slip that they've found the information they need elsewhere, something about a city they've been researching. For your part, there is no news of the target surviving. It seems that your worry about the mission's failure is unfounded. Whatever happened aboard the ship, it worked to our favor. The Wind's Pleasure is reported lost with all hands. Yasna Kolin is dead.
Yasna Kolin is dead.
Shallan gaped, jaw dropping.
That, it isn't.
Maybe those idiots did manage to complete the job, Tin said, satisfied. It looks like I'll be paid after all.
Your mission in Amidlaten, Shallan whispered. It was to assassinate Yasna Kolin.
Run the operation, at least, Tin said, distracted. Would have gone myself, but can't stand ships. Those churning seas turn my stomach inside out. Shallan couldn't speak. Tin was an assassin. Tin had been behind the hit on Yasna Kolin. The span reed was still writing. Some interesting news. You asked after House Davar in Yarkaved. It looks like Yasna, before leaving Karbranth, took a new ward. Shallan reached for the span reed. Tin caught her hand, the woman's eyes widening as the reed wrote a few last sentences. A girl named Shallan. Red hair, pale skin. Nobody knows much about her. Didn't seem important news to our informants until I pried. Shallan looked up just as Tin did, meeting the woman's eyes. Ah, damnation, Tin said. Shallan tried to pull free. Instead, she found herself being hauled off the chair. She couldn't follow Tin's quick motions as the woman slammed her to the ground face first. The woman's boot followed to Shallan's back, knocking the air from her and throwing a shock through her body. Shallan's vision fuzzed as she gasped for air. Damnation! Damnation! Tin said. You're Colin's ward? Where's Yasna? Did she live?
Help!
Shallan croaked, barely able to speak as she tried to crawl toward the tent wall. Tin knelt on Shallan's back, pressing the air from her lungs again. I had my men clear the area around this tent. I was worried about you alerting the deserters that we would turn them in. Stormfather! She knelt down, head closer to Shallan's ear. As Shallan struggled, Tin grabbed her on the shoulder and squeezed hard. Did Yasna live?
No,
Shallan whispered, tears of pain coming to her eyes. The ship, you may have noticed, Yasna's voice said from behind them, has two very fine cabins which I hired out for us at no small expense. Tin cursed, leaping up and spinning to see who had spoken. It was, of course, Pattern. Shallan didn't give him a glance but scrambled toward the tent wall. Vatha and the others were out there somewhere. If she could just... Tin caught her leg, yanking her backward. I can't escape, a primal part of her thought. Panic surged within Shallan, bringing with it memories of days spent completely impotent, her father's increasingly destructive violence, a family falling apart. Powerless. Can't run, can't run, can't run. Fight! Shallan pulled her leg free of Tin and spun, launching herself at the woman. She would not be powerless again. She would not! Tin gasped as Shallan attacked with everything she had, a clawing, angry, frantic mess. It wasn't effective. Shallan knew next to nothing about how to fight, and in moments she found herself croaking in pain a second time, Tin's fist buried in her stomach. Shallan sank to her knees, tears on her cheeks. She tried, ineffectively, to inhale. Tin cracked her on the side of the head, making her vision go all white. Where did that come from? Tin said. Shallan blinked, looking up, vision swimming. She was on the ground again. Her fingernails had left a set of bloody rips across Tin's cheek. Tin reached up, hand coming away red. Her expression darkened, and she reached to the table where her sword rested in its sheath. What a mess, Tin growled. Storm it! I'm going to have to invite that Vatha here, then find a way to blame this on him. Tin pulled the sword from its sheath. Shallan struggled to her knees, then tried to climb to her feet, but her legs were unsteady and the room lurched around her, as if she were still on the ship.
Pattern,
she croaked.
Pattern!
She heard something outside. Shouts?
I'm sorry, Tin said, voice cold. I'm going to have to tie this up tight. In a way, I'm proud of you. You fooled me. You'd have been good at this.
Calm, Shallan told herself. Be calm. 10 heartbeats. But for her, it didn't have to be 10, did it? No, it must be. Time. I need time. She had spheres in her sleeve. As Tin approached, Shallan breathed in sharply. Stormlight became a raging tempest inside of her, and she raised her hand, thrusting out a pulse of light. She couldn't form it into anything. She still didn't know how. But it seemed for a moment to show a rippling image of Shallan, standing proudly like a woman of the court. Tin stopped short at the sight of the projection of light and color, then waved her sword out in front of her. The light rippled, dissipating into smoky trails.
"So I'm going mad," Tin said, "hearing voices, seeing things. I guess part of me doesn't want to do this."
She advanced, raising her blade.
"I'm sorry that you have to learn the lesson this way. Sometimes we must do things we don't like, kid. Difficult things."
Shallan growled, thrusting her hands forward. Mist twisted and writhed in her hands as a brilliantly silver blade formed there, spearing Tin through the chest. The woman barely had time to gasp in surprise as her eyes burned in her skull. Tin's corpse slid back off the weapon, collapsing in a heap.
"Difficult things," Shallan growled. "Yes, I believe I told you. I've learned that lesson already. Thank you."
She crawled to her feet, wobbling. The tent flap ripped open, and Shallan turned, holding up the shard blade point first toward the opening. Vatha, Gaz, and a few other soldiers stopped there in a jumble, weapons bloodied. They looked from Shallan to the corpse on the floor with its burned-out eyes, then back to Shallan. She felt numb. She wanted to dismiss the blade, hide it. It was terrible. She did not. She crushed those emotions and hid them deep within. At the moment she needed something strong to hold to, and the weapon served that purpose, even if she hated it.
"Tin's soldiers?"
Was that her voice? Completely cold? Purged of emotion?
"Stormfather,"
Vatha said, stepping into the tent, hand to his chest as he stared at the shard blade.
"That night when you pled with us, you could have killed us every one, and the bandits, too. You could have done it on your own."
"Tin's men!"
Shallan shouted.
"Dead, Brightness," Red said. "We heard a voice, telling us to come get you, and they wouldn't let us pass. Then we heard you screaming and..."
"Was it the voice of the Almighty?"
Vatha asked in a whisper.
"It was my spren," Shallan said. "That is all you need know. Search this tent. This woman was hired to assassinate me."
It was true, after a fashion.
"There might be records of who hired her. Bring me anything you find with writing on it."
As they swarmed in and set to work, Shallan sat down on the stool beside the table. The span reed still waited there, hovering, paused at the bottom of the page. It needed a new sheet. Shallan dismissed the shard blade.
"Do not speak of what you saw here to the others," she told Vatha and his men.
Though they promised quickly, she doubted that would hold for long. Shard blades were near mythical objects, and a woman holding one? Rumors would spread.
Just what she needed.
"You're alive because of that cursed thing," she thought to herself. "Again. Stop complaining." She took the span reed up and changed the paper, then set it with its point at the corner. After a moment, Tin's distant accomplice started writing again. "Your benefactors on the Amidlaten job wish to meet with you," the pen wrote. "It seems that the Ghost Bloods have something else for you to do. Would you like me to arrange a meeting with them in the war camps?" The pen stopped in place, waiting for a response. What had the span read said above? That these people, Tin's benefactors, the Ghost Bloods, had found the information they sought. Information about a city.
Yirithiru.
The people who had killed Yasna, the people who threatened her family, were searching for the city, too. Shallan stared at the paper and its words for an extended moment as Vatha and his men began pulling clothing out of Tin's trunk, knocking on its sides to find anything hidden. "Would you like me to arrange a meeting with them?" Shallan took the span reed, switched the fabrial's setting, then wrote a single word. Yes. The end of part 2.